about is realizing that our life is just a moment, or another terminology we've talked about before, in looking at it concerning that it's God's movie, not our movie. It's not a movie about us. It's a movie about God. That we just get one really, really small part in His movie. That's all it is. Okay? We have to keep that in its proper perspective. We finished up with, I read this particular this. He says, "We will all leave this life with unfinished plans, unwritten books, unmade trips, unmade beds. We simply ran out of days for doing that." So to make the kind of concrete, as James would say, boastful, in verse 16, those kinds of plans that James describes is really pretty cool. So I wanted to kind of start here with this, taking our eyes and get, you know, every single one of us, when we leave this life, we're going to leave.
Oh, yeah.
Be a lot of, yeah. You're not going to get it all straightened out before you go? Yeah, you know, there's just going to be a lot of stuff that's going to be left, you know, unfinished, uncompleted. And one of the things that time, just to emphasize a little bit, I think that, you know, it's okay to leave unwritten books and goals and unmade trips, unmade beds. Yeah, leave the bed unmade, you know, who cares? But there's one category on here that I pray that as we do this one area of our lives, and that's with unmended relationships.
Amen.
Okay? We can't, but I really want to encourage you to mend as many as you can before it is too late. You've heard me talk about time and time again. You know, it's not the stuff in our lives that really makes relationships. We lose sight of relationships and, you know, what do we really have? And so, I just, based on, you know, that statement from him, I just wanted to point that out, that that's an area that we need to try to minimize much as we possibly can, the number of unmended relationships that we will leave behind.
Right? That's exactly right, brother. I agree with you 100% because people are walking around with holding grudges for people who don't have fortitude to even try to think about forgiving. Forgiveness that really should make the individual feel better about themselves, because I know if I have some things that's going on in my life against someone, I know I need to get that right. And we got family members sometimes that can't get along, and they say things like, "I'll never forgive them. I'll never do this." Well, you're playing with fire. And I mean that in a positive sense. Because God does not like others like that. He wants us to get along. He didn't create us with that kind of insight. He needs us a forgiving, loving individual, and other Christians in particular. We really need to set an example. We really need to set an example. And I told my children that years ago, my wife and I both told him, I said, "One day, you two may be only, you know, a man, y'all need to be sure you get along. Because it's so important for that relationship." That's one serious thing.
You know, to think about it, and when you talk about how unimportant all the stuff is, you know, that we focus so much on the life, but the reality is, isn't it usually the stuff that causes problems in messy relationships? So if we learn to keep that in perspective, we wouldn't let the stuff, you know, destroy our relationships the way we do. So, Okay, so let's then look at the other side of this whole thing. You know, James is talking about this whole thing, you know, you're making all these plans and you don't even know whether you're gonna be around tomorrow to, you know, to see any of these things come up. So the next question is, does that mean don't make any plans? You know, are we not supposed to make any kind of plans at all? Is James, in other words, advocating that we don't make any kind of plans at all, and that we are to wander aimlessly through life without any kind of dreams or goals or plans or anything? Is that no. what James has in mind for us?
No.
I meant to turn those off earlier. You know, are we just to exist day to day without any thought of tomorrow at all? Does that one come back? Okay. And the reality is that's not what James is advocating. He's not saying here, don't make plans at all. He's not saying, you know, plans are wrong and it's evil and sinful to make plans. The Bible doesn't condemn making plans. What it does condemn is making plans as if their completion lies solely with us. Mm-hmm. You see? In other words, that we're the ones who are going to be able to make those plans happen and come through, and leaving God out of the whole plan process and so forth. In other words, consider the Apostle Paul and some plans that he made. Okay, let's take a look at a couple of things here. Acts chapter 15 and verse 36. It tells us here, sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. Now here, Paul is proposing a second missionary journey. Okay? And does that text sound like Paul is making some plans here? Some plans for the future?
Yeah.
You can say. And so, you know, hey, let's do this. Let's go back to all these towns that we visited and see how everybody's doing. Are they remaining faithful and so forth? And so here's an example of Paul making plans. Okay, but let's continue looking. Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10. Somebody got that? Read it for us, please. Acts 16, verses 6 through 10. Paul talking about here? He wanted to go to Asia. Was that plans? Okay. He had some plans to go there, but what happened? Yeah, Holy Spirit said that. No, don't want you to go there. I got something else for you to do. I've got another direction I want you to go.
Amen.
Okay. And so was it wrong for Paul to have those plans to go to Asia?
No.
Absolutely not. The thing that he did right was be able to submit to the Holy Spirit.
If he did pass away, God would do what
he wanted. Yeah. Well, I mean, think about it. We said a moment ago, you think Paul, when he died, he had any plans for anything else? No. But it's his time. There's a man who was always making plans to go somewhere and preach the gospel. Okay, Romans chapter 15, verse 20. He says, it has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not build on someone else's foundation. Okay, now, in beginning in verse 23 through verse 29, Here is speaking of his plans to visit Spain and to stop by Rome on his way. Okay? So here's another example. Paul is, you know, his mission is to preach the gospel. But he realizes that in order to accomplish that mission that God had given to him, and that mission was given to him by God, then he's got to make some plans. Mm-hmm. And so he's planning to go to Spain. He's planning to stop by Rome. Somebody read those verses for us, please. 23 through 29.
But now that no more plans for me to work in these regions. And since I have been longing for many years to visit you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through and go and to have you assist me on my journey thereafter. I have enjoyed your company for a while. How far?
329.
Now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord. For Macedonia and Asia were places to make contribution for among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their marital blessings. So after I have completed this task and have made sure that they have received this contribution, I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the form of the pleasure and the blessings of Christ.
Okay. So here Paul is laying out his plans, isn't he?
Yeah.
I'm going to Jerusalem. When I get done doing the things I got to do there in Jerusalem, then I'm going to Spain, and I'm going to stop by and see you guys on the way there. You see, the Bible isn't saying that there's anything wrong with making plans. So what is the problem? What is it that James is trying to get us to understand? The problem is of making plans without factoring God's will into our lives.
Amen.
We go ahead with our plans, not realizing, again, the main point is who ultimately is in control. It's God. Okay? And being able to look at whatever plans that we're making and submitting those plans to God's will. All of our plans need to be. Okay? And I emphasize the word all. Okay? In other words, when you're making business plans, you know, have to do with your work and so forth. Do you include God's will and factor God's will into those plans? How about family? How many of you are planning a vacation this summer? Okay, a couple of you. The rest of you are staying home. Or maybe you just want to let it happen. Okay? But are you factoring God's will into those plans? See? You know, what about, you know, church? What do you mean? Planning for church? Well, yeah. Is that an area of our lives that we should leave God out of the planning in terms of, you know, whether we're even going to go to church or not? And how we're living, not just going to church, but are we being the church? And what God wants us to be doing in His church. You see, in terms of, you know, the work we're doing and all that kind of stuff. We just kind of plan to go to church, forgetting that we are the church, and that maybe God has plans for us in His church. You see. So do we include God's plan and submit to His plans for that? What about retirement? Talk about retirement, and you know, are we including God's plans, or are we just looking at how much we've got in the 401ks? Do we have enough? And so forth. Are we including God's will and His plans in that? Things like our careers. You mentioned business, jobs over, but you know, a career. You start out. you know, and you're going to change careers or whatever. A lot of people do that, you know. How is God factoring into your career plans? How about, you know, for young people especially, talking about getting married? Not just young people, older ones getting remarried and so forth. Do we include God in those marriage plans? Okay. Even things such as where we're going to live. You know, I got to live somewhere. But do we include God in those plans? What are His plans? So that could include not just where I'm going to be, but what I'm going to do with this place that I have, whether it's an apartment or a house or a condo or whatever. What am I going to do with this place? What does God want me to do with this place that He's given me to live? You see? And how am I going to use it for Him and His glory? Rather than just saying, well, I got me a nice place to live, and I'm going to do this with it and that with it, and I'm going to fix it up here and fix it up there, and, you know, what's God want you to do with it? And keep in mind that He's the one who gave you your job to begin with. He's the one who gave you your house to begin with. He's the one who gave you your marriage partner to begin with. He's the one that gave you the time to take vacation from your work to begin with. You see where this is going, don't you?
That's right.
Okay, so again, I ask the question, how much of our plans should include God's will? All of it. You see? Since everything that we have belongs to Him anyway, and it comes from Him, then we should be including Him in all of those things. Verse 15 of James chapter 4, he makes the statement, instead of going about making your plans as if you've got all this control over what's going to happen, you're assuming that, you know, everything is going to work out in your favor, and you're going to go to this place or that place and spend a year there, and it's all going to work out, and you're going to make a profit. Instead of doing that, he says, instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord to live. Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about that part for a moment. Is James advocating a magic formula, so to speak, that we're supposed to say every time we talk about plans for the future? Is that what this is really all about? That, you know, as long as we say, I'll see you tomorrow, Lord will, you know, see you next week, Lord willing, then we, you know, that's, is that what he's really telling us to do? Is that what it's really all about? And I suggest to you, no. It's not a matter of words that we are to say in order to satisfy a requirement, but rather it is an attitude of the heart that recognizing our plans and God's may not be the same. Okay, did you hear that right? You say, it's an attitude of the heart that recognizing that our plans may not be in alignment with God's plans. Okay, therefore, that God has the right and the privilege to change those plans anytime He wants to. Right?
I find myself saying a lot, it was the Lord, but it truly comes from the heart, because I know the day doesn't belong to me, everything belongs to Him. And He is the one who blesses me to see even this day. And I'm so thankful for it. And anything we do ought to include the Lord. First of all, in prayer. Because if it's His will, pray for that. If that is His will, if you want to do that. But we really, don't be playing with the Lord and talking about what we're going to do and keeping it out of the mix. It's not going to work. Because His plan, your plan is not going to be His plan. Yeah.
Well, see, I think that the problem comes in, the difficulty oftentimes is because that, you know, that statement, if you know, the Lord willing or whatever, it can really become a meaningless utterance unless we have the attitude that our plans are always subject to God's overrule.
That's right.
Amen. Okay? And we really need to understand that. I think sometimes what we do is we go, well, you know, I'm going to go do this, Lord willing. And what we're, I think, oftentimes really saying is, I got my plans, and I'm hoping that God's in line with my plans here, and he's going to make everything work out the way I want him to do that. That's not the same thing here that we're talking about. You see, we need to be praying, and you know, you said, we need to be going to God and asking for his will to be done in our lives. In Amen. Whatever the circumstances, whatever the plan is that we come up with, but that requires us to be willing and able to submit to him giving us completely different plans. You say, changing the plans, tweaking them a little bit, but in other words, basically saying that whatever we're asking about is not necessarily going to work out the way we want it to and have decided that it should. Okay? Christine?
Well, I tell my health
regularly
that I'll see tomorrow and work with it. I'll also tell my son. He said, don't worry, we're going to do it in a couple of days. My health tells me that I'm
changing. Okay?
We'll be able to work out. But I know things.
Well, you know, as you've heard me say time and time again, we ain't getting out of this thing alive, folks.
I mean, I'm one of the users that prays quite often. I believe it in my heart.
Oh, yeah.
But number two, I don't think it's hard for me to tell you to remind you.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Not a problem with using it. We should be. But again, we just have to be careful that it doesn't just become this phrase that we say, you know, like see you tomorrow kind of thing, you know. That it really does mean that we're willing to submit to God's altering of our plans and things working out his way and not ours. And I think when, you know, if we're really honest with it, that's where we have the most difficulty, because we get in our mind how things need to be. You know, if everything just worked out this way, then I'll be happy, right? And then when it doesn't work out that way, we're not too happy about it oftentimes. And so the real issue is learning that, you know, yeah, it's nothing wrong with having plans, but we have to accept God's authority over our plans and allow that, you know, hey, he's going to say, not what I got in store for you. I don't know about you, but I can tell you at times in my life where my plans didn't work out, and his worked out the better for me.
That's right.
Okay?
Amen.
His worked out a whole lot better than what I had come up with. Chuck, you had your hand up a moment ago?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we pray about what we're going to do. We talk to him. And we fully expect that he will. He does have the power to. And he wants us to have and do. So it's kind of a little bit of a seems like a contradiction, because we have to pray with confidence.
Right.
It is, but then, like you said, we have to be ready, because we understand that he has the power, and whatever his will be done.
Absolutely.
But, and we look at Paul, and that's what we think. Paul was doing such a great job. He was courageous. And then he got bit by a snake, and then he got shipwrecked, and then he got put in prison, and then he got killed. We just have to be ready. We have to have that reflex and do something when it doesn't go away.
God's will.
A reflex.
Right. And we have to accept it, otherwise we can become bitter toward God that he didn't work things out our way, and many people, because life didn't happen the way they had it all planned out, that it's God's fault, and so they're not going to have anything to do with God. So.
Also, I think if you realize that the plan's not going to work out, I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah.
And because, you know, I've seen people trying to do the same thing over and over again, and God's answer has always been no, and then you get like a set frustrated. Accept it. You know, and see what God is playing for you in
part of the excitement too, to see what God has in mind. You know, where this is going to go. And I, you know, I've mentioned this before, and you know, it's never been a secret. You know, the elders here, they know that when they first asked me to come here, I told them I don't want to come here. That wasn't in my plans. You know, I was working with a little church, and we had, you know, gotten started, and you know, my plans were going to build this church. And they said, no, you got to come here. We want you to come here and be our preacher. I said, I don't want to. And I didn't hold that back on, but that's not my plans. But what did I tell you guys? Remember?
I'm still losing the hell of you.
Yeah. Does that mean we get to go? What I told them was, what I don't want to do is to go against God's will. And I told them, if God's will is for us to be here, then he'll make that happen. If he doesn't, then, you know, he'll make that happen too. And so if it's God's will, obviously it was God's will to be here. It wasn't my will, it wasn't Cindy's will. But I will tell you this, we have been tremendously blessed to be here. So, you know, that's a personal example of how, you know, God sometimes has better plans for us than what we have. We've got to learn to submit to his plans.
Yeah.
And y'all are stuck with me until he lets me know that it's time to go. You know. And so, you know, be careful what you ask for. But let's go and take a look at, you know, some other examples here of Paul making some plans. And notice, you know, how he does this, okay? Acts chapter 19, verses 19 through 21. Somebody got that? Read for us, please. Acts 18, 19 through 21. Did I say 19? 18. Acts 18, 19 through 21. I'm sorry.
He came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with them. And they asked him to stay a longer time with them, but he did not consent. They took leave of them, saying, I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem, but I will return again to you after.
So, I got to leave, okay? I've got stuff I've got to do, and I will return if God's will is for me to return. Okay? I'll come back if it's the Lord's will. Acts chapter 19 and verse 1 shows that God did will for him to return to Ephesus, okay? Tells us there that he took the inland road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. And not only did he go there, but he spent 3 years there. Okay. So they had requested originally for him to stay a little bit longer. Couldn't stay then. If it's the Lord's will, I'll be back. And it was the Lord's will to be back. And he didn't stay a short time. He stayed for 3 years and preached to them. Okay, Acts chapter 20, verse 31 tells us he was there for 3 years. When he was getting ready to leave, he is addressed to the elders there, the church in Ephesus. And I've been here for 3 years. Romans chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Somebody read that for us, please. Actually, read verses 9 through 13. Romans 1, 9 through 13.
For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit and the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making a request, if by some means now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brother, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles.
So, you know, again, here is what we see. I had these plans to come and visit, but I've been prevented from doing so until now. Mm-hmm. Paul's recognizing God's authority over his plans. You keep in mind, you know, the work that Paul was doing was whose work to begin with? It was God's work, okay? And so God had his plans that he worked through Paul that did not always conform to what Paul's plans were. But Paul submitted his work and his mission, his life, to God's plans for him. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 19, Paul expresses his plans to visit the Corinthian church there so he can straighten out some of the problems that were going on there. Okay? It says, I will come to you very soon. How? If the Lord is willing. Okay? Now, you know, the folks there in the church, when they got that letter, they might have been kind of responding to that statement from Paul like I used to respond, and my brother and my sister used to respond when my dad would make plans to, you know, to stop this car. You kids want me to stop this car? No. You say, you want me to come up there? No. You know, Paul was planning to come there and straighten out some folks and do some discipline. See? And they might not have been looking forward to him coming to do that. Those were his plans to straighten out the problems that needed to be straightened out. And he submitted those plans to God's will. He doesn't say that he knows what God's will is concerning any of those plans, does he?
That's right.
Okay? He just leaves open his plans to the reality, as we said earlier, that God may have different plans for him that he does not know anything about at that time. And that's the part that we got to keep in mind. Again, James isn't condemning us making plans. We've got to understand that when we're making our plans, that God may have other plans for us that we don't know anything about right now. Okay? So I make my plans with the understanding that, again, God always has the authority to override my plans. And I have to submit to whatever his plans are for my life. And what that's really doing is saying, I'm not in control of these things. God is. Since I don't even know that I'm going to be here tomorrow, okay, I don't have the knowledge. I don't have the ability to know how long I'm going to live. Then it's kind of boastful of me to be making all these plans and leaving God out of it and saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, when I don't even know I'm going to be able to do it tomorrow. I may still be around, but I may not have the physical ability to do it anymore. Something happened. Okay? So what happens to my plans? So I always need to be making those plans with the understanding that God has control over those things, and he has veto power, so to speak, over my plans. Alright, we're out of time. I've got one more section on there I want to go, but we'll continue. We'll finish up this section 2 weeks from now. Got a surprise for you. 2 weeks from now. I will not be here next week. Okay? Chuck is going to be teaching Bible class next Sunday morning. All right?
There you go.
So I don't know what he's going to be teaching about, but he's going to be teaching Bible class next week. I encourage you to come next week and cheer him on for that. All right? And no, we are not going to South Carolina.